suffered every day of his life. He was also rejected. He had a girlfriend at the time. He got down on one knee, proposed to his girlfriend, and she said no. So not only this dude suffering from diseases, he just got kicked to the curb from his girlfriend. And then he's also was facing constant opposition about his work from those inside the church and those outside the church. So here's a guy who knows where you're coming from. So again, how in the world did this guy write joy to the world? I mean, he suffered every day of his life. He was rejected by the woman he loved. He was rejected by his friends and colleagues. So how in the world? I think for him, it's what we've been talking about the last 2 weeks. He did something in his life. What he decided to do was he's going to preach hope of the gospel to himself. Remember what we talked the last couple weeks? We've been talking about when fear and anxiety, when they come upon you, what do we have to do? Instead of doing what the devil wants us to do, the enemy wants us to focus on fear and anxiety in our lives, because when we focus on that, we're not building our faith. We're actually doing the opposite. We're building up the fear and anxiety because we're giving it so much attention. And so what Isaac Watts said, he said, you know what? I'm going to choose to starve my fear and anxiety, and I'm going to feed my faith. So I'm going to write about joy. I'm going to talk about joy. I'm going to focus on, I want to see what Scripture says to say about joy. And that's what he did. For him, he was fighting for the ultimate joy. Anybody have a hard time feeling joy today? I mean, how is this world broken for you this morning? What are you plagued with this Christmas? Or maybe this past year, you're carrying the weight of something. It'd be easy for you to focus on that. It'd be easy for you to focus on what this world's done to you this past year. It'd be easy to focus on the fear and anxiety in our life. It'd be easy to focus on that. If you're here this morning, I want to challenge you. Maybe we can stop focusing on that, and maybe we can sing joy to the Lord, joy to the world. Because it reminds us. We've seen that joy to the world. It's not just this Christmas carol we grew up with, but it's a reminder. It's a reminder that Christmas, what it's about. It's a reminder about Christ and the promise we have in Christ. In Christ, pain and sin will never have the last word. That's a promise you and I have. And so we sing joy to the world. We recognize that. We hear that. We say, okay, that's right. This is not the end. There's more to this. Listen, in Christ, our life has the crescendo of Psalms 98. Yeah, this body, it's going to deteriorate on you. Your knees are going to go bad. Your hearing is going to go bad. But listen, the Lord inside of us, Scripture tells us every day, grows stronger and stronger. Paul says it, 2 Corinthians 4:16. He says, so do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. That's what we're talking about. Focus on building our faith and not on the fear and anxiety in our life. That's how we have joy. We're going to focus on the promises of God. That, yeah, he said he's going to renew me every day. And you know how to renew myself every day? By getting along with him. And stop focusing on my fear. Stop wallowing in my anxiety. Stop wallowing on my situation. Even though my situation hasn't changed, my outlook can change because I'm going to focus on him. He doesn't promise he's going to make it all sunshine and roses. He promised his presence. Now, put that in context of the carol. His presence. When his presence got on the earth, the psalmist wrote, the seas roared, the rivers clapped their hands, the hills shouted. Now, imagine his presence in your life, what it will do to you. I'm telling you, there'll be some shouting, there'll be some clapping, there'll be some celebrating. Hang with me. I want to make up some words this morning. You just better stay, wake up. If you need spelling on clapping, I'll get that to you later, okay? I'm just telling you, his presence. I think we treat it like a Christmas carol sometimes. We sing these words and we don't even know what we're talking. We don't even think about the words. It's automatic for us. We talk about his presence. We don't even think about his presence. We don't think about his presence when his presence, when his little tiny feet hit this world, how the world shouted, how the world celebrated because they knew something different here. How we experience the presence of the living God living inside of us. We're like, well, yeah. But this is really bad. Nothing compares his presence. You know, when this carol was written, Isaac Watts was actually thinking about the second coming of Christ, not just the first. So this hymn he's talking about the return of Jesus because the King of heaven came down and returned again, and the hope of heaven is true for you, it is true for me, and all believe that he's returning. And I want to talk for just a minute about that glorious new heaven, new earth that he's alluding to in the carol. We see it in Revelation 21, verse 3, or starting in verse 2. It says, "And I saw a holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband." And what's that picture it's painting for? It means heaven's beautiful. I mean, you know how long, you've all been around weddings, you know how long it takes for the bride to get ready for a wedding? Like days, right? Like they got to start this whole process, nails, toenails. I mean, it's a thing. Guys, we wake up late, we throw on some pants, and we're good to go. But it's a day process for the ladies to get ready. Why? Because they want to be beautiful. It's saying God is doing this for us. God is preparing heaven for us. And so it reflects the stunning beauty of our Maker. Look at verses 3 and 4 here. It says, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He'll wipe away every tear from their eyes, and the death shall be no more. Neither shall be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, nor former things have passed away." You know what that's, do you understand what that's saying to us this morning? No more hatred, no more strife, no more jealousy, no more fits of anger, no more rivalries, no more divisions, no more dissension, no more sickness, no more death, no more debts, no more natural disaster, no more wars, no more hospitals, no more funerals, no more graveyards, no more mass shootings, no more pain. That's what it means. And why does it mean that? Joy to the world, the Lord has come because Christ has come, because the Savior has come. That's what we're talking about this morning. Heaven is beautiful. Heaven is perfect. It's a real place where nothing, absolutely nothing more to fear. Joy to the world. And the beauty of heaven doesn't even compare to the God of heaven. And that's exactly what Jesus came to give you and I at Christmas time. Not something from God, but a relationship with God himself. Heaven's for you and I. Heaven, there's no place in heaven for fear, anxiety. If you and I, what Christmas means is if you and I surrender to Jesus, even in the midst of suffering, we can sing joy to the world. Why? Why? Because the Lord has come. Joy to the world. We forget the second part, because the Lord has come. I can't sing joy right now, Pastor. The Lord's come. Your situation doesn't change. The Lord is here. That's what this song means. That's how we sing joy to the world. Because we know without a shadow of a doubt, he's come to the earth. The fact that Christ became man, it tells me he knows our pain. He's been there and then even some more than that. It tells us that this too shall pass. In Christ, we get a new heaven, new earth. He's the one who makes all things new. So Jesus become like us. Look at this. So we can become like him. Joy to the world. cute little baby, Jesus in the manger, is the glory of God, of the glory of the invisible God. Hebrews puts it this way, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, it says, He is a radiance of the glory of God, an exact imprint of His nature. And He upholds the universe by words of His power. After making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of Majesty on high, having become as much superior to the angels as the name He has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Listen, this birth, this miraculous birth of Jesus is more than a supernatural display of God's power becoming man. The birth had a clear purpose. And that purpose was that God would lead us, that Jesus would lead us to God. That carol, in that carol, one of the lines says, He comes to make His blessings flow. And what's the greatest blessing in life and in death? It's God Himself. That's what Christmas is. Emmanuel, God with us. It's not the absence of pain and suffering. It's not the absence of hurt. It's a presence. Again, it goes back to the presence of Jesus. Joy to the world. Listen, the purpose of the baby is still all satisfying glory of God and saving grace for humanity. I want the worship team to come on up. We're going to end and enjoy the world in just a second. So finally, Jesus came to reveal God to us, right? And there's only two things that you can do with the revelation of God in Christ. I need you to listen to this, okay? So now you know the revelation of God. There's two things you can do with that. One, you can repent and believe and trust Jesus. Or two, you can rebel and continue to pretend you can somehow save yourself through your good deeds. We'll just see how Psalm 98 ends. Psalm 98, which birthed the Christmas carol, Joy to the World, it ends this way in verse 8 and 9. Love this part. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord, for He comes to judge earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the people with iniquity. All right, so Christ's first coming and Christ's return is great news for those of us who believe. It's not great news for those who reject it. There's a saying that goes around that people like to toss around all the time when you're talking to someone about Jesus, when you're sharing. They like to say, oh, listen. Only God can judge me. That is absolutely 100% true. But what they forget when they use that phrase is that He will judge. So the challenge is don't just make room for Jesus this Christmas season. Challenge is that you give your whole life over to Him. Because if you're found in Him, we have nothing to worry about. Did you hear that? If we're found in Him, we have nothing to worry about. Joy to the world. I don't want you to miss what the carol says in verse 3. No more let sin and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make His blessing flow far as a curse is found. You get what it's saying? Jesus came to take the curse. The one sure way to throw away the joy of the work of Christ is that habitual sin in our lives. I'm telling you, this morning, you have to surrender all. We like to come. We like to punch our spiritual card. We came to church, Pastor. But then we go back to our lives as regular scheduled program. And we're doing the same things over and over and over. But listen, to truly grab hold of this joy of the world, the Lord has come, we got to give Him everything. We can't compartmentalize and say, well, this part's yours, this part's me, this part's mine. You know, nobody knows I'm doing this. So, you know, it's not affecting nobody. Baloney. It's all or nothing. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. How are you going to respond to that this morning? The joy of salvation be restored to us. last of the carol is this. He rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, the wonders of his love, the wonders of his love, and the wonders of his love. Listen, the greatest news ever, the entire world, can be found in a Christmas carol written in 1719. Joy to the world, the Savior's come. I want to ask you to stand. We're going to sing that carol again, and they're going to slow it down a little bit, but I want you to think about the word you're saying this morning. Don't just put it on automatic pilot. I got this, the joy of the world, the Lord has come, blah, 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 blah. No. Stop for a second. Look at the words if you need to. Say each word out loud so you understand it. Joy to the world. How do we have joy? Because I know the Lord has come. I know no matter what situation I am, I know the Lord has come. My situation doesn't change that. He's still here. It's whether if I take my eyes off him or not. It's whether if I invite his presence in my life or not. How do you have joy in this world we live in? We know without a shadow of doubt, he's here. So this morning, we're just going to sing this through a couple times. Take it to heart. Some of you walked in struggling. Some of you walked in with a battle. Some of you walked in with habitual sin. Today, this is how we stop. This is how we recognize. This is how we get right with the Lord. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. I'm going to respond to that. You're going to accept it or you're going to reject it. That's your choices. Would you sing it with us this morning?